of 4. But this is nice because what do we know about square root of 4? That's just equal to 2, because I know that 2 squared is equal to 4. And technically here this will be plus or minus, because I can do the same thing. Negative 2 squared is also equal to 4. So you can ask the same kind of question, but now instead of 4, you can ask it for 13 or 2, something that's not a perfect square. So you can ask, what number squared gives you 2? Or from the example I got, 13. So I reason the same way. I chose 4 first because it was a perfect square, and I think about what number, what do I need to do to 4 in order to get the number that it's squared gets you 4. And I got the answer of the square root. And I can do the same thing here. What number squared gives you 2? Or 13. So you could solve for that. It would just be the square root of 2 or the square root of 13. Technically, you'd have plus or minus. But these are numbers that you can't write in terms of a fraction. Yes? In the red? Sorry, so the fourth root? So let's work that out. So the fourth root, you could write it like this. The fourth root, which is also equal to the fourth of 4. Right? But what can I rewrite this as? I can rewrite 4 as 2 squared. Right? And then I still have the 1/4. And then what do I have here? Whenever I have an exponent and then 2 an exponent, what do I do to the two numbers? You multiply. So I get 2 all over 4, which is the same thing as 2 to the 1/2 power, which is square root of 2. Yeah, so that was correct. So this was just a good way of figuring it out step by step. So these are good examples of irrational numbers. Pi, the square root of a number that's not a perfect square. And now I'm going to talk about e is also an irrational number. But why is it important? We know that pi is important because it is really related to circles. The square roots are really important when we need to take squares. But what about e? So we have this number e, and it's related to the base rate of growth shared by all continually growing processes. So this is what you get when you try to Google E or try to figure out the definition in a textbook, and it'll tell you the base rate of growth shared by all continually growing processes, and you read this and you're even more confused than you started out with. So it gives you this kind of definition and you still don't really understand what E is from this definition. So that's maybe why when I was learning E, I was still really confused why it was important. My teacher just sort of put E on the board and was like, okay, this is important, you need to know it, but I never actually really understood why it was such an important number and where it came up in nature or why it came up in mathematics. So I put this on the board to sort of, you can read it and you can be just as confused as I was when I first read this. So that's why I sort of wanted to have this talk about why E is important. So the first half of my talk I'll talk about why it's important, and then at the end I'll show you why it is irrational. So in this sense, what I'm going to show you, this can be modeled for, let's say, population, or let's say you put money in a bank and you collect interest, calculations. And so this has to do with money. So I'll show you a few examples of how how or why it's so cool where E shows up. So, you know, you might look at this and might be really confused, but I hope by the end of the talk you'll understand what E is. So, before I write down E, I'm going to just now talk about the exponential functions. So, exponential growth. So, sometimes you might hear something grows exponentially. So, what does that usually mean in that sense, even before knowing what the graph looks like? Yeah? Yeah, so it means it's growing as exponents, and I'll show you that exponents actually grow really, really fast. So when you hear someone telling you this grew exponentially, it's saying that it's growing really, really quickly. So an example of this is y is equal to 2x. What's another example? You can do y is equal to 10x, y is equal to 5x. You can pick your favorite number to be the base. Usually we just want the base, so if we have it in terms of a, we usually just want a to be positive. So you can pick your favorite number that's positive and just raise it to the x power. And so the one that really becomes really important is when we choose the base to be e. So a lot of students will get confused by this because you have a letter raised to a letter, but really, E is just a number. So it's really similar to 2 to the x, 10 to the x, and 5 to the x. And what's a general graph of, let's say, y is equal to 2 to the x? So let me just graph that. So let's say I have at 0, what's 2 to the 0? So let me make an xy chart. So let me plug in 1, 2, 3, and 0. So when I plug in 0, I'll just have 2 to the 0. And this you might not have seen, but just by convention, what is this equal to? 1, right? Anything to the 0th power is 1. So at 0, I am going to be at 1. What about when I plug in 1, I'll get 2 to the 1st power, and what is that equal to? 2, right? And then I keep going. When I plug in 2, I get 2 squared, 4, 2 cubed. So I just multiply my last number by 2, and what will I get? 8, right. So hopefully I have enough. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let me move this up a little. 8. So when I graph it at 1, when my x is 1, this is 2. And when my x is 2, I get 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And at 3, I get 8. What about some negative values? Just so we understand what it looks like. So let's say we do x is negative 1 and negative 2 as an example. So when I plug it in, I'll just get 2 to the negative 1. What is this the same as? Yep.
1/2.
Yeah, it's 1 all over 2 to the 1st power, which is just 1/2. So I go to this graph, at negative 1, I'll be at 1/2. What about at negative 2? So I plug it in and I get 2 to the negative 2, and then so what will I get?
1/4.
Yeah, 1/4, because it's 1 all over 2 squared, which is 1/4. So then I get even closer to 0. And when you plot more points, you'll see that the graph looks like this. So this is what it means to grow exponentially. It goes through the point 0, 1, and then after that, it tends to grow really, really fast. So this is what it means to grow exponentially. Okay, so let's continue looking at the y equals 2x. Okay, so let's look at a system. So this just means what we're going to model for that doubles. After a certain amount of time. So there's a few classic examples of this. So any kind of system that doubles after time, you can think of maybe the main example is bacteria. Let's say bacteria can double in 24 hours. So you might think this is a little gross when you've gotten like a little bit on your kitchen. After 24 hours, it might be twice as much. Another one, this is almost, if you are lucky, your money doubles, let's say, every year. So let's say you put your money in a bank and you get interest out of that, and let's say you were lucky and then your interest rate was 100%. So this is 100% interest. That meaning that you get double of what you started out with, so this is really lucky. If your bank gives you 100% interest on your savings, definitely put your money into that bank. So these are just examples of what is modeled by something that doubles after a certain amount of time. You can think of like bacteria splitting and you get double after a certain amount of time. You can also think about like folding paper. When you fold it, you get two pieces, and then when you fold it again, you'll get four pieces. So anything that doubles over time will be modeled by 2 to the x. So let's think about, is this a good model for both of these cases, for bacteria and just for money? So let's just look at that. So let's say we just graphed it. Instead of like a line like this, let's say, so this is time, and then this is the amount. So the amount of bacteria you have or the amount of money that you have. And let's see if we were to graph it. So let's say this was 0. This is 1, 2, 3. So let's say this is after 1 day, after 2 days, after 3 days for bacteria, or it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years for your money. So at the 0th year, let's just say you start off with 1. Either 1 bacteria or $1, any of these will be fine. So then after 1 year, you expect it to double. So I expect my original dollar to be 2. Or my original bacteria to be now 2 bacteria. And then what happens in the 2nd year? I expect these 2 to double. So I'll have 4. You can think of like them dollars or just bacteria. And then when I have, after the 3rd year or the 3rd day, I'll have 8. So this is a good way of thinking about it in terms of, this is the same exact graph, but now I'm just drawing it with circles to represent the bacteria or the money. So we see this is the model for if it doubles after a certain amount of time. So we see after 1 year we have 2, after 2 years we have 4, and after 3 years we have 8. So this will grow 2 to the x. And x equals how many, let's say, days in terms of bacteria, or in terms of money, it could be years. So it's whatever whatever you're trying to model, like if it's bacteria, it's days, or it's years for money. And this is the kind of equation we get. We get that the growth is 2 to the x. But what does this say? This says that this one piece of bacteria for an entire day is waiting and just waiting, and then as the 24th hour passes, there you go, you got a second bacteria. So all of a sudden, there's a second bacteria. So that's what this is assuming. And same with money. You're saying that you're given a dollar, and then after a year, all of a sudden you have 2. It just popped up, and then you have 2 out of nowhere. And then this is also for all the other years, that you start off with $2, and then all of a sudden, after a year, there you go, you have 4. But this may not be true in certain cases. So this is saying that all of a sudden, two will pop up out of these two. So so you don't really see how they're growing before, in between the year and the 2 years. So let's just try maybe zooming in into the graph. So let's try maybe zooming in onto this piece. So let's say this is, it's going to be all the same axis where this is time, and then this is the amount. So I'm going to draw a lot of these, and the entire time the axis is the same. So let's say we have 0, and then let's say we wanted to zoom in. So I'll do it all the way up to 1. And let's look at 0.5, 0.25, and 0.75. So I just split it up into more pieces. So I'm just zooming in on this little graph right here. So I know at 0 I have 1, and at 1 it doubles. But what can I expect if I zoom in on a half? What do I expect to happen? So I expect at the half to maybe have half of this bacteria already forming. So you can just sort of picture it like this. So this is one whole one, this is another whole one, and I expect in a half a year for a half bacteria to almost be developing. Or think about your money. And then I can reason the same thing. So I always start off with 1, and then after a fourth of a year or a fourth of a day, I expect 1/4, so I'll put 1/4 there, to also be growing out of this bacteria or growing out of your money. And then the same is for 3/4. So if I imagine my dollar or my bacteria, I expect after 3/4 of a year to have an additional 75 cents there, and then after the full year or the full day, I'll have 2. So this was just sort of zooming in on what's happening in between this little section right here. And so this sort of seems correct. So this is still correct for bacteria. Because you can think about bacteria, if it takes, 24 hours to double, it's not like all of a sudden, after a day, it just shows up. Within that day, it's growing, and you just sort of imagine it to be growing continuously. It doesn't just show up all of a sudden. It's going to be growing from the one bacteria, and same with your money. But it turns out this is not true for money. So even though this worked for bacteria, this is actually not so true in the case of money. So when we have money and we have interest, and if it's compounded, so compounded means that's when you collect the interest, this model doesn't actually hold exactly for money. And I'll show you why. So why doesn't it hold for money? So let's say your interest is collected continuously. So let's say you put in a dollar into your bank account, and after a year it's 100%, so you expect $2. Would you be able to collect it at half a year and get half of that interest? So this means that it's being collected continuously. So at every minute, every second, the interest is being collected. So your interest is growing even though it's before the year mark. So this means, let's say, as soon as you earn a penny in your interest, this penny can also grow interest. So this is why this one is a little different than the bacteria. In bacteria, you have to wait for the entire piece to be its own piece before it can grow another piece. Like, you can't have, let's say, a smaller bacteria within a bacteria. In case of money, once you start earning, let's say, 25 cents, your 25 cents can be earning interest on top of that. So now you have more money to gather interest. So maybe I'll draw some of these graphs so you can see why it's a little different than bacteria. So let's say we only collected interest on the year mark. So this is 0, and then this is 1, so this is time, and then this is amount. So let's say we only collected interest after 1 year. So this is similar to what I drew before. So I'll put a dollar in, and then after a year, if I get 100% interest, I expect to have $2. So my total is $2. After 1 year, if I only look into my bank account after 1 year, and it's only collected once, so the interest is only collected once after a year, I expect if it's 100% that it will double. So now let's change it. So let's say we collected interest. So collect interest after... So let's say you don't want to wait a year. Let's say after 6 months, half a year. And let's say it was 50% each half year. So this is after 1 year, and this is 100%. So let's say after 100% after 1 year, I expect to double. But for this case, I'm going to collect interest after 6 months. So let's say I'm very impatient with my money, and I just want to check after 6 months how much I have. So I'm going to only do 50% at each 6 months. So instead of 1 year, I'm going to write 12 for 12 months, because now I'm thinking about it in terms of months. So now it goes from 0 to 12 months, and then the halfway mark is 6. So as I zoom in, or see what happens when I have $1, at 6 months, what do I expect? For 50% each 6 months, what do I expect to be on top of it? Yeah? Yeah, exactly, 50 cents. So 0.5. And then what do I expect here at 12 months? Yeah?
$3.
So I have 1, but so if I collected one more time, I just expect the $1 there. Does that make sense? So this is, so let me just move the 6 months over a little bit. If I'm only collecting 50% after each year, so after 6 months, I would think that I would expect to only just have the same $2 at the end. But it turns out, like I was mentioning, as soon as you earn a penny, this penny can earn interest as well. So I'm going to, erase this because I need room for my last little bubble. So this was collecting it at 6 months. So this is me going from $1 to another dollar, and it doubles. But I didn't think about my 50 cents that I earned at 6 months. So after the 6 month part, this will also begin to double. So what do I expect there to be at the end? What is 50% of 50 cents? Yep?
25 cents.
Yep, 25 cents. So I expect, because my interest can also be collected on the 50 cents, that here I'll have a 25 cents. So this was a little different, because this was collected 6 months, at 50% each time. And so here, I have from the 50 cents, it's also collecting interest, so I have another 25 cents. So all together, how much do I have? So when I just add up the 1, 1, and 25 cents.
$2.25.
Yep, $2.25. So obviously this is better, right? So when I compound my interest, meaning I collect my interest every 6 months at 50%, I end up with $2.25 instead of $2, which was just after 1 year. So this seems like a better deal. This seems, this is way better to collect interest every 6 months. So why stop there? Why don't we think about if we collect interest, maybe let's say every 3 months. So let's say 3 months, or divide it into three, so it'll be 4 months. So if I divide 100% by three, how much do I expect to collect interest every 4 months?
Yeah? 33.3%.
Yep, so 33, I'll just round it to 33%. So now I'll show you if I collect every 4 months at 33%, how much will my money add up to? So this is time, and this is amount. So I'm going to rewrite it again in terms of months. So it's 0, and then I'm going to collect every 4 months. So 4 months, and then 8, and then 12. So I'm going to start off with a dollar. So I know my dollar will stay the same throughout the year. And then what do I expect after 4 months? I'm going to collect 33% interest after 4 months. So what do I expect to be on top of this? Yeah, me in the gray shirt?
33 cents.
Yeah, 33 cents. What about, so not looking at the 33, after 8 months, I collected 66% originally from the dollar, so how much do I expect here? Yeah, in the white shirt? Yes, so this is 66 cents. So this is, and then after another 4 months, I expect this to be one whole dollar. But then I go back, so this was just me looking at my dollar. I wasn't collecting interest on my 33 cents. So at this point, I no longer have a dollar. I have a dollar 33 cents, so I can still collect interest on my 33 cents. So what do I expect? So this goes there. And there. What do I expect? And this one as well. What do I expect for my 33 to add on as well at the end of 8 months?
11 cents.
11 cents. One third of this. Yeah, so I expect another 11 cents added on. So this piece together with this piece gave me a dollar, but then at this point I still have the extra 66 cents. So what do I think about in terms of just 4 months in advance? How much will that be as well? So think about what other numbers I have to add on here. So after 4 months, I expect this to become 33 cents. Oops, sorry, I think it's 22 cents. 22. What about the 11 cents? So one third of 11 will be 4. So this will be 0.4 cents. 0.04. No, sorry, I think this one should be 33. Yeah, so you could almost think about it. I don't know why I'm getting confused here. I'm seeing it as 22 right now, but I have 33 in my notes, and it works out when it's 33. Sorry. I'm just trying to make sure it makes sense to me. Should be, I think, 22. So when I add up all these numbers, I'll get $2, and then 26 cents. So it's still growing a little bit more than I had originally. So this is better, right? When I collect interest every 4 months at 33%, I'm getting more and more money from what I started with. So when I go back to this, what was this? So writing an equation for, let's say, here, I can rewrite the first one. So after 1 year, and it's 100%, you can rewrite this as a formula. You can rewrite this as 1 plus 100% to the first power. So 100%, you can rewrite that as 1. So it'll be 1 plus 1. So it'll be 2 to the first power, which is 2. And then let's say after 6 months, at 50%, you could rewrite this as a formula once again. So this will be 1, so the 1 stays the same as, and then I'm taking the 100% and dividing it by 2. So that's just another way of writing 50%. So I was just taking it and dividing it by 2. And then here, this is the amount of times that you collect interest. So what will happen when I plug in these values? This will just be 1 plus, so this is 50%, so you can write it as 0.5 squared. And when you work that out, it's 2.25. So now we have a mathematical way to write what we are doing. So this seems pretty nice. Our number of money that we have at the end is growing, and as we're taking more interest for lesser months, it seems like our money is growing. So it sort of seems like we can continue the process and just get a lot of money. Let's say we just collect interest every month or every day or every hour or every second, and then we should be getting more and more money. So if we think about continuing this process, we could try every month, or better yet, every day. What's even better, let's say like every hour. You could say every second. You could even go smaller, every nanosecond. So you sort of expect that your money will keep on growing, and you think, can I get, let's say, like $1 million after just 1 year from $1? Do you think it'll just keep growing all the way until whatever number you wish, depending on how many times you collect interest? So after doing a few of these, you might think that you can just get as much money as you want when you collect interest the entire time. But let's look at our equation. So the equation we have here, I wrote it in this form, so you can think about the growth being 1 plus 100% all over, let's say, n raised to the n power. And then n is equal to the number of times the interest is collected. Let's say every year. So I'm just writing a formula for this. So here, interest was collected after 1 year, so I really had 100% over 1 raised to the first power. And then when it was collected after 6 months, how many times a year is that? That's twice a year. 2 times a year. So my n value was equal to 2. So what would my n value be here in this case, in this formula? How many times do I collect interest? Yep. In the back? Oh, yeah. So I think that's where... Yes, thank you. So this one was correct, the 22, but I still have my 11 and the interest on that, which will be 4 cents. Yes, thank you. I think now it finally works out. I knew this number had to be right because this formula, when you plug in 3, you get 2.37. So I knew it had to be right, but I just couldn't see it right there. It's a little hard when you're this close to the board. Yeah, you have a question? Yes, exactly. So In this case, n is equal to 3 because every 4 months, so that's 3 times a year. So I'm going to just try to plug in some numbers for this formula. So let's say you can continue for every month, every second, but that would be a very hard graph to try to do. If you try to do it for every second for the whole year, it would be a very, very large graph. So I'm going to just do this in terms of like just plugging in into a calculator or just figuring out what the numbers are. So this is 1 plus, and 100% can just be rewritten as 1, so 1 all over n raised to the n power. And so we already did a few of these. So we did for 1, so that's just plugging in here 1, we got 2 from our graph. And then for when n is equal to 2, we got an answer of 2.25. And when you plug into here, you'll get the same exact value. And then same with 3, you should get 2.37. And so if you have some extra time on a calculator, you can plug in a few extra numbers. So let's say 4, this is 2.44. When you have 5, you get 2.4883 2. So it's already, you know, it's growing almost to 2.5, which is quite nice. So let's maybe jump to 10 instead of doing all those numbers in between. You get 2.5937424. And then so I can see it's still growing. So let me plug in another big number. Let's say 100. So when I plug in 100 into this, I get 2.70481329. So it's still growing. It's already at 2.7, but that was after plugging in 100. So that's a pretty big number. So let's plug in even more. So let's say you plug in, 100,000. So you just jump from 100 to 100,000, see how big this number is, you get 2.718268. So it sort of looks like it's peaking at some number, 2.71, right? You know, after plugging in 100,000, you get this value. What about, let's say, 1,000,000? When you plug in 1,000,000 into this formula, you get 2.718204, and it doesn't really seem like it's going to really keep on growing past 2.7. After, and you can spend, you know, a whole day on the calculator just plugging in bigger and bigger numbers, but it's really just going to keep growing to 2.7 dot dot dot. The numbers here will be a little bit different, but it won't grow any bigger. And so that's where E comes from. So E, you can think of it as the limiting number that it approaches. So you can imagine this goes to E. And so I haven't written down the exact value of E, so I wrote out a few of the digits. E is equal to 2.718281828. I wrote out a lot, 459045. And it keeps on going forever because it's an irrational number. And we're pretty close to this number after 1,000,000. We've got, let's say, we've got like up to here, correct? So it seems like as I would put in larger and larger numbers, I would get more and more close to this number. So I'm going to say that this is equal to this number right here as n, let's say, gets huge. So you can just keep thinking of bigger numbers, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000. You can just keep plugging in bigger and bigger numbers. But another way of writing this, maybe a more sophisticated way in math, is maybe you can rewrite this as E is equal to 1 plus 1 all over n to the n as n goes to infinity. That's just saying, as n is getting really, really, really big, think of the biggest number and triple it, and then square it. That's going to be even a bigger number. As n is getting really, 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 really huge, this formula, 1 plus 1 all over n to the n, is getting really, 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 really close to e. So no matter how big of a number you plug in, it'll never be bigger than e, but it'll get really, really, really close to e. So another way of writing this even more sophisticatedly, I know some of you may have not seen limits, but this is exactly what it means for e to be the limit as n goes to infinity of 1 plus 1 all over n to the n. So these are all just the same notation. So this might seem a little foreign to you, but this just means that as n is getting big, e is equal to this in a limiting sense. That's what it is approaching. So if you're not sure about this notation, it's okay. I just wanted to introduce what we were actually doing here. So you'll learn this in calculus, so if you just remember this, you'll know a little bit about calculus before you get there. That's why E is pretty cool. It's when you compound your interest continuously, you think that your money just keeps on growing and growing, but it's actually approaching 2.718 after 1 year. So you can't just make $1 million after 1 year on $1. So that's why this is pretty cool. This is how we think about E. We think about it as being the number that it approaches for a growth rate. But let's look at this number. How do we know that it's irrational? I told you it was irrational, but how do we know that it is? So for the second half of my lecture, I'll show you why it's irrational. But there's a few things we need to know for showing why it's irrational, and one of the things I want to go over real quick before we do the break is factorials. So you might think factorials have nothing to do with E, but you'll see that they actually have a lot to do with the number E. So, does anyone know what a factorial is? Yeah, in the zebra shirt? Yeah, so give me an example. Let's say like 3 factorial. What's 3 factorial? Times 1, and what will that give you?
Give 6.
6, exactly. What about another example? Yeah, in the plaid shirt in the back? Yep. 10. So that one will be quite big. Good thing I wrote this one down. I have this one. So this will be 10 times 9 times 8 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 and times 1. And factorials, just like exponentials, grow really, really big, really fast. And I wrote down 10 factorial is 3,628,800. So it's really big. After 10, it's already in the 3 millions. So I'm just going to write the formal definition of factorial. So if you have some number n factorial, it's the same thing as n, so you start off with the highest number, 3, and this one was 10, and then you work your way down with 1 and multiply. So n minus 1 multiplied by n minus 2 multiplied by n minus 3, and it keeps on going until you reach 1. And what do you notice in this case? 3 factorial is 6, and this is an integer. And why is it an integer? Because you're multiplying an integer by an integer, so you have an integer. What about here? You also have an integer because you're just multiplying whole numbers. You're not multiplying by any fractions. So this is also an integer. So what do we expect n factorial to always be? Yeah, in the green shirt? Yep, this will always be an integer. Okay, so now we're going to be taking a break, and I'll be handing out a little worksheet, and this is just so that you guys can get a little bit more familiar with factorials, and this will help us prove that E is irrational. So I'll hand these out.
Yeah, so we're going to take a little break, and you can go use the bathroom and get some water, and also work on your worksheet, okay?
Okay, so here you can pass this down. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up? Here, you can pass it down. Yeah. Here you go. Can you pass this down? Mm-hmm. Here, do you want one? Or a few? Mm-hmm. Here you go. There you go.
Thank you.
So this is just practicing with factorials. I think like 10-15 minutes.